Filthy Henry, The Scarred Bones, Part 1. Dust motes glistened in the shaft of moonlight that shone through the front windows, casting a blue light over the displays, like ice freezing everything in place. Vincent Farrell, head curator of the Natural History Museum on Merrion Street Upper in Dublin, enjoyed this time of day. Rather, this time of night. When the doors were closed and locked, the uninterested public nowhere to be seen, and all the museum staff had gone home, it was just him. And silence, and his displays. It was bliss. He walked down the main floor, quietly, so as not to disturb the silence in any way. The museum deserved that level of respect, that adherence to basic manners that the general public, by and large, seemed to lack. All the displays deserved to be viewed in the quiet dignity that they had given their lives for, not in a cacophony of sound and screaming, and people running around to see all the exhibits just so they could say they had visited the museum. It was worse when busloads of children appeared, their grubby little hands looking to paw at everything, in total disregard of the do not touch signs, hung with care and reverence at snot-nosed children's typical height. Oh, how he loathed the days when they appeared. One could almost make allowances for the youth, the teenagers, who entered the hallowed halls of the museum to second themselves in a quiet corner for a secretive kiss, without parental eyes being able to see. If given a choice of when Vincent liked to enjoy the museum, he would always pick now. At night, doors closed, moonlight the only thing to see by. His place of solitude in the city of chaos and madness. Vincent stopped at the display of hawks and falcons, marvelling at how the creatures seemed ready to burst into life once more. A sign that the taxidermists truly knew their craft. A craft which outshone the likes of Da Vinci as far as Vincent was concerned. Leaning in, the head curator tilted his head ever so slightly to the left and stared at the glint of light in a kestrel's eye. The light seemed to swirl, twinkle almost, instead of simply reflect back from the black glass bead.
"Curious," Vincent said,
reaching out in defiance of his own do-not-touch sign. It happened in the blink of a beady bird eye. The light flared up and a glow enveloped the kestrel's dead head. With a snap of bone and wood, the bird's head swiveled towards Vincent and opened its beak. It emitted a high-pitched screech, much like that of an alive kestrel, except drier, as if the bird's vocal cords were now made of sandpaper.
"Mother of God!"
Vincent roared, falling down to the wooden floorboards and scampering backwards from the display. The kestrel continued to screech, rocking its head back and forth, and causing the rest of the body to move along with the motions. Vincent Farrell, known for having the stiff spine of a jellyfish, quickly got to his feet and ran to the front door as loudly as he liked. With the key already out of his pocket, he thrust it into the lock, turned it, and pulled open the door to make his escape into the hustle and bustle of Dublin City. Filthy Henry, Ireland's first and foremost fairy detective, stared at the man standing on his front doorstep and frowned. It wasn't the fact that the man was standing there in the first place. That was annoying for a multitude of different reasons. No, the reason for the fairy detective's creased forehead was because the man had the aura of somebody who would ruin Filthy Henry's breakfast.
"I even got myself three types of Danish,"
Filthy Henry said, as he hung his head and continued walking towards his building on Middle Abbey Street.
Are you Mr. Henry?" the man said,
turning around right as the fairy detective reached the bottom step.
"Nope,"
Filthy Henry said quickly, walking up to the front door and pulling out his key.
"No, what?"
the man asked, stepping out of the way to let him pass.
"No, it isn't Mr. Henry," the fairy detective said. "Good day. Are you the fairy detective or not?"
Filthy Henry closed his eyes and groaned. Breakfast was well and truly ruined now. The curse of the client wanting help in the morning.
An idea, nasty in nature, popped into the fairy detective's head. One he would no doubt come to regret, depending on how well it was received.
Have you ever talked to the second fairy detective? Filthy Henry asked the man.
I'm Vincent Farrell, head curator of the Natural History Museum, the man said, offering no hand to shake by way of an introduction. I don't usually deal with the help. I hire the help.
Filthy Henry turned to face Vincent and looked the man up and down. Something about him reminded the fairy detective of an old coat. The kind left in the closet for 20 years, mothballed and musty smelling, when it was finally found again. Something that belonged in a charity shop window, forever ignored by those walking past. Being curator of a museum seemed an oddly fitting position for the man to hold.
The dead zoo, Filthy Henry asked, using the Dublin colloquial term of endearment used by people for generations to describe the museum.
Vincent visibly stiffened at the term, his left eye squinting at the fairy detective, as if trying to shoot daggers into his head.
The Natural History Museum, Vincent said curtly. And I need to hire your unique services, as loath as I am to admit that fact.
Filthy Henry rolled his eyes and opened the door to his building.
Fine, fine, fine. Follow me.
He stepped inside and held the door open so Vincent could follow him. He gestured towards a glass-frosted door a little down the hallway, and Vincent walked towards it, allowing Filthy Henry to close the street door and walk in behind him.
Oh, hello, Shelley said, stepping out of her office. I didn't know we had a client.
We don't, Filthy Henry said, squeezing between the two of them and walking into the office. I do, apparently. Come along, Mr. Farrell.
They walked into the office, Shelley taking up her seat behind the desk, while Vincent remained standing just inside the doorway. He looked around at the office with a look of disdain on his face, like the mere act of standing in the room was somehow beneath him. If he had started to sniff at the air and look ill, Filthy Henry would not have been surprised. Vincent's eyes fell on the window behind Shelley's desk. He stared at it, confused, before pointing a finger towards it.
How do you have a window there that shows what's happening on the street in front of the building?
Magic,
Filthy Henry said, smirking. He reached into his bag of treats and pulled out an apple Danish. In the magically reflected sunlight from Shelley's illogically placed window, it looked really tasty.
You are aware that we're fairy detectives, right? Shelley asked the client.
I am.
You mean I'm a fairy detective? You're another detective, don't forget. Says so right in the glass door there, Filthy Henry clarified, between bites of breakfast.
Look, I don't care if you're pet detectives. I was sent here after something happened in my museum last night. Apparently, I can pay for your services from a discretionary fund that the government provides for such matters, which is more than you deserve if you ask me.
The fairy detective felt his back go slightly stiffer at the very obvious insult fired their way.
Now hold on a second, Filthy Henry said, pointing at Vincent with the crust of his Danish. You don't know how much we're worth, because we haven't settled on a price. And to do that, we also have to take on your case. Now, considering you look like the human equivalent of a leftover fart, I'm going to exit stage left and trust you can show yourself out. Bad day to you, sir.
With that, Filthy Henry gathered up his belongings and marched out the door of Shelley's office. He made his way upstairs to the next floor, where his own place of work could be found, and strolled through the door. Right as the fairy detective sat down on his chair, he felt a sudden chill run through his body, like somebody had just cursed him for a moment. Below, at the front door, Filthy Henry could hear Shelley talking with Vincent as the head curator of dead things left the building.
Excellent. We'll see you tonight, Shelley shouted before closing the door.
Filthy Henry, for the second time that morning, let out a long sigh of misery and despair.
Ugh, well that explains the chills, he said to the empty office, starting on his strawberry Danish, and wondering how he could make this case a Shelley solo adventure.
Shelley had always loved visiting the dead zoo as a child. It was where her love of animals came from, in a very morbid sort of way. She would go into the silent building, taking care to make no sound, as she walked across the old floorboards and stare at the lifeless animals and their displays. With her sketch pad and a sharpened 2H pencil, young Shelley would spend hours doing still life of things which used to actually have life. Since entering the magical detective business, Shelley had found her time usually spent on art had dwindled. Working cases, chasing down rogue fairies, and helping Filthy Henry with his cases took up a lot more time than Shelley had assumed it would. So that night, as they made their way down the paved stone path towards the doors of the museum, Shelley held a new sketch pad and pencil tightly under her arm. It was never too late to take up an old hobby, as her father had always said.
Shelley, we're here to work, not to doodle, Filthy Henry said, pointing at the pad.
I can take notes in it too, Shelley fired back. Besides, cases don't always have to be doom and gloom, you know. The fairy detective looked at her with utter confusion all over his face.
Is this your first time working on a fairy case or something? They all involve doom and gloom. Something or someone magically wanting the world to end. This will not be any different, mark my words.
You sound so sure of yourself.
Perhaps we should make a wager, Shelley proposed,
as they stopped just before the giant wooden doors of the museum. Filthy Henry turned to face her directly and grinned that annoying grin he grinned when he felt he had the moral high ground.
Sure, he said. Loser has to buy dinner for the winner, using actual money. No questions asked.
Actual money, Shelley said, knowing Filthy Henry's penchant for conjuring money out of the air to pay for things. A spell which only lasted long enough for the money to be put in a cash register before it disappeared.
Fine. That and one other thing.
Filthy Henry raised an eyebrow and looked at her.
Go on.
Winner gets a veto on the next case we team up on, to be used to vote in favour of taking it or in favour of making the other person take it on their own. The fairy detective's hand shot forward so quickly it startled Shelley.
You got yourself a deal, he said.
Shelley smiled, shook his hand to seal the deal, then knocked on the double doors before them. On the other side came the sound of footsteps approaching, a key being inserted into a lock, and an ominous click as internal mechanisms, in need of oil, turned, tumbling into place. Hinges, older than most of the schoolchildren who were dragged on tours to the building, groaned, and the door on the left was pulled open. Vincent Farrell's head came into view, looking first at Filthy Henry, then to Shelley.
I wasn't expecting the two of you, he said.
A sort of a package deal, Shelley explained, pointing at the fairy detective. He's here to give me assistance.
Hey, I'm here to get paid. Assistance is going to cost you extra, Filthy Henry said.
Mr. Farrell didn't seem to enjoy the joke. He stepped fully back and pulled the door completely open, gesturing for Shelley and Filthy Henry to enter the museum.
Shall we?
Shelley asked the fairy detective, stepping across the threshold. Something passed across the fairy detective's face for a brief moment. Shelley was not entirely sure, but if it had been anyone else's face, she would have said it was a look of worry, maybe even panic. But Filthy Henry was not known for being scared about anything. He was most likely just thinking about ways to mess with the head curator and not about the case before them. Stepping through the doorway brought back so many fond memories for Shelley. A loud bang behind, one that echoed through the empty building, signalled that Filthy Henry had closed the doors after coming inside. Mr. Farrell's shoulders shot up quickly, in an attempt to cover his ears from the booming sound. He slowly turned and looked over his shoulder at the fairy detective.
If you wouldn't mind respecting the museum a little more than that, the head curator said. There are signs, after all, about it being quiet.
Filthy Henry held up his hands in a placating gesture, then followed them through the entrance area and into the museum proper. The overhead lights of the main hall had been turned off, the room illuminated with a blue glow from the moonlight that filtered in through the overhead windows. Some of the display units still had lights on, shining down on the taxidermised animals and bones. Shelley had never been in the museum at night. Without a few other people walking around, and more lighting, the place was very creepy. They followed Mr. Farrell, passing through the display cases.
So I've been looking at the displays for years, and I want to leave a mark behind me when I am no longer needed around here. You know, Something that people can go and point to and go, Vincent Farrell did that. I'm thinking computer displays that do augmented reality of the animals. Headsets that patrons can wear and go back to the time of the Irish elk. That sort of stuff. What I don't need is stuff going bump in the bloody night. What I'm trying to build out my legacy, the head curator said, pointing at display units as they passed. Shelley stopped at a stuffed deer head. In the blue light of the moon, it had an almost possessed look to it. She quickly flicked on her fairy vision, which allowed her to see things in the magical spectrum, just to confirm that the deer head was not magical. Just a head, she said to herself. Vincent kept talking about the various changes he was going to make to the museum, assuring them both that all the funding had been secured, and if it wasn't, he had enough dirt to make strong suggestions, which would ensure the funds appeared when required. The whole time they walked behind him, Shelley noticed that Filthy Henry was being uncharacteristically quiet, and also not looking at any of the displays too closely. Are you all right? Shelley asked him, stepping closer so that she could keep her voice low. Vincent seemed not to notice, his monologue still going strong. Ah, this place creeps me out a little, Filthy Henry said, also speaking low. I mean, these are just cuddly toys that have been put on display. It's a morbid tourist attraction if ever there was one. Shelley frowned at this statement. You've literally had conversations with ghosts and spirits of the dearly departed, she said, and you're freaked out by a few stuffed animals. The fairy detective stopped walking and pointed an accusatory finger in the direction of some inanimate badgers. Those are not stuffed animals, he said, waving his finger towards them. Stuffed animals are lovely little things that you see in children's bedrooms. Those things on display are preserved carcasses with freaky little glass beads in place of their original eyes. Do you know why they replace the eyes, Shelley? Do you? I do. It's because even after they do all the chemical baths and pruning and preening of the corpse, the eyes would still decompose. Could you just picture that? Some school kid staring at the display, and the eyes slowly turn into drippy jelly. And what do they do instead? They put in those glass beads that are somehow worse, because the beads, they follow you around the room, no matter where you are. Shelley felt like she would have frowned if her face had not already borne that particular expression. It was like listening to the ramblings of a madman. Except knowing Filthy Henry for all these years, she knew he was anything but mad. Crazy sometimes, and stupid if the need was desperate enough. But mad was never a word she would have used to describe him. Right. So you're not a fan of dead things on display then? Is that about the height of it? Filthy Henry closed his eyes, took a deep breath, then returned his hands to his trench coat pockets. When he opened his eyes once more, the fairy detective seemed to be in a calm frame of mind again. I don't mind dead things on display, he said calmly. I just don't like the ones that are made to look like they're still actually alive. Give me a dozen skeletons, any day of the week, over this macabre menagerie of mammals. It really sounds like you don't like dead things, she said. The fairy detective pursed his lips and shook his head in the negative. No, but if you put a million dead things in one small place, there's a sort of dark energy that builds up. Nothing nefarious, or that can become a problem. But enough that you could be excused for thinking that in a place like this, you tend to trip over your shoelace more often. Why do you think graveyards don't just expand outwards forever? It isn't because of zoning regulations, let me tell you that. Before Shelley could respond, Vincent came walking back to them. I'm sorry, the head curator said in a tone which suggested no apology was actually intended. Did the grand tour of my fantastic works not keep you entertained? I even performed my grand reveal, and when I turned around to see your jubilant faces, I realised I'd been talking to myself. Ah, we figured you liked the sound of your own voice, Filthy Henry said, walking forwards. Didn't want to interrupt your monologuing. There might have been a British secret agent somewhere, with gadgets aplenty listening to you from the rafters for all we knew. Vincent Farrell glared at the fairy detective as he walked past. When I pay for a service, the head curator said, I expect some respect to come from those in my employ. Shelley reached over and patted the man on his bony shoulders. I'd expect to be pretty disappointed on that front, when dealing with Filthy, she said. Come on, show us this grand reveal while you have our attention. Vincent moved ahead of Filthy Henry and guided them through the remaining displays on the ground floor
and turned right at the end of the rows. Shelley and Filthy Henry followed him. Then they saw him standing with his arms spread wide in front of a large glass display case. Three lights inside the case shone down with bright white light onto a large bipedal skeletal form. It was positioned in front of what looked like plastic rockery and fake shrubbery, posed in such a way that you would almost expect the skeleton to burst through the glass and amble through the museum, wreaking havoc and destruction. When neither of them said anything, Vincent waved his arms in the air a little.
"I'm not going to say ta-da, if that's what you're waiting for. Can you not simply marvel at the fantastic specimen that stands before you?"
the head curator asked of them, his tone sounding more irate than disappointed.
Is it a giant ape?"
Filthy Henry hazarded, walking towards the display case and looking the skeleton up and down.
"Don't be absurd," Vincent said, shooing the fairy detective back away from the case. "This, you uneducated dolt, is a piece of cryptozoology that will put the Dublin Museum of Natural History on the global map. It's a genuine Sasquatch skeleton."
Filthy Henry, The Scarred Bones is an original story by Derek Power and Niall Milton. Other works by Derek Power are available to buy right now on Amazon Kindle. Part 2 of this story is available imminently. If this story scratched any sort of itch at all for you, why not go and check out other episodes from our podcast? Please be sure to like or subscribe or share. And as always, thanks for listening.